This evening's second reading comes to us from the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and is in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. When I was a high school senior, during a lunch period, a buddy of mine who happened to be an atheist asked me what it meant to be a Christian. Now, I don't remember the answer I gave him, but I know it was long-winded. And I'm pretty sure it was naive. And I think I probably threw John 3:16 in there just because that's what I've been trained to do all those years in Sunday school. I do know that at the end of our 40-minute discussion, he was still an atheist. And I'm guessing he was just as confused as he had been when he asked the question. So what does it mean to be a Christian? That's a question that the rest of the world continues to ask us. And it's a question that we should ask ourselves from time to time. Sure, being a Christian means that the penalty for our sins has been paid for by the blood of Christ. But beyond that, does the world know what it means to be a Christian? Do Christians know? In the early 1990s, there was a youth group leader in Holland, Michigan, named Janie Tinklenberg. She began a grassroots movement to help the teenagers in her group remember the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" Perhaps you heard this. She shortened it to the acronym WWJD and began stamping it on bracelets. And those bracelets spread across this country. Remembering the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" was an effort to get us acting like Christians by following Christ's examples during times of stress or indecision or moral ambiguity. Unfortunately, that seemingly helpful phrase actually created a bit of a problem. It confused people as they struggled to think like Christ would. So much so that a few years later, a second bracelet was made that answered WWJD with the initials FROG. What would Jesus do? Fully rely on God. That's closer to the truth. We're human. If we could think like God, then we would be gods, and clearly we're not. The Jesus who walked this earth was in constant communication with God. The Son of Man prayed ceaselessly. Jesus fully relied on God, as we should. But instead of trying to think like God or trying to remember acronyms, there are two small Latin words that every Christian should know, and they completely answer the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? Those words are coram Deo. Coram Deo translates literally as before God. It's a reminder that as Christians, we live in the presence of God, in the face of God. Coram Deo reminds us that God is always present. After Cain murdered Abel and God questioned him, "Where is your brother?" Cain tried to hide the truth from God with a lie. "I don't know," he said. "Am I my brother's keeper?" God established his omnipresence with two of the saddest sentences ever written. "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." God already knew what had happened, because he has always been and always will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and we cannot hide from him. Living Coram Deo in the presence of God reminds us that if God is always present, then he is always sovereign. He is supreme. He possesses power that we cannot hope to understand. That concept frees us in remarkable ways. If our sovereign God is always watching over us, taking care of us, protecting us, then we can stop worrying about what everyone else around us thinks, because our attention is where it should be, on our Creator. It becomes easier to stop doing the things that are harmful or troubling to our souls, because we realize we can no longer hide them from the one who truly matters. A life that is Coram Deo is a life that is open before God. But living Coram Deo, living before God, does not mean we pick and choose those times. If God is always present, then our whole lives must be lived for him or for his glory. It's what the author of Colossians meant when he wrote, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Presbyterian theologian R.C. Sproul writes, "The Christian who compartmentalizes his or her life into two sections of the religious and the non-religious has failed to grasp the big idea. The big idea is that all of life is religious, or none of life is religious. To divide life between the religious and the non-religious is itself a sacrilege. This means that whether a person's vocation is as a cashier, an attorney, or as a homemaker, as long as he or she fulfills that vocation, Coram Deo, before God, then that person is acting every bit as religiously as a person who makes their living as a soul-winning evangelist. It means that David was as religious when he obeyed God's call to be a shepherd as he was when he was anointed with the special grace of kingship. It means that Jesus was every bit as religious when he worked in his father's carpenter shop as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." If you are ever asked what it means to be a Christian, you can now answer with two short Latin words that I wish I'd known, and that I'm sure my buddy, who sat there for 40 minutes, wishes I'd known. Being a Christian means living with integrity, with consistency, with the compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience that comes with living a life that is truly and always open. Coram Deo, before God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.